I want to welcome all of you to our service today, and I encourage you to sign the fellowship pad as it is passed along to you. If you're visiting, we encourage you to join us for refreshments after the service in our fellowship hall. And Heather, I apologize to you for getting my signals crossed. I am Robert Ramey, a retired pastor and seminary professor, as you can tell by my previous mistake. I am serving today as we await a new interim pastor. In fact, Elder Ray Beal has an announcement to make at this time.
Good morning. If you remember, about a couple of months ago, I was standing here explaining to you what we were trying to do. Well, it's my pleasure this morning to stand here and announce to you that we have an interim pastor in place. His name is Reverend John McDonald, and he's from Port Republic, Virginia. I had to look at the map. I'd never heard of it. It's about an hour, small ways north of Harrisonburg, Virginia. He's got 30 plus years of pastoral experience, 20 of that as a solo pastor in two different churches, one for 7, one for 13 years. He's currently finishing his second interimship at Buena Vista Presbyterian Church. So his first day in our office will be the 25th of June. He has to give a 30-day notice, and he passed through Presbytery inspection last Thursday. So all being said, we have a new minister in place. It'll be another few weeks before he gets here, but from what we saw, he's been here. We've interviewed him in person. We've watched his sermons, three of them on YouTube. So we're real excited about it. He's going to bring a lot of good things to us. So all that being said, congratulations to us.
Thank you, Ray. We look forward to his coming. Jackson has asked me to announce that the children will go fishing this afternoon as previously scheduled. The pond may be a little muddy, however. I urge you to notice the announcements about our church supper on Main Street on May 29th at Delano's. Also mark your calendars for the Vacation Bible School from June 11th through the 15th and register your children. Jackson will teach an adult Bible study class. Also, I urge you to please pray each day for those listed in our pastoral concerns list. Our liturgist today is Trevor Brown, one of our fine young people who will soon receive his Eagle Scout Award here at First Presbyterian Church.
Thank you. Will you please join me in the responsive call to worship? Holy Spirit, in the beginning you moved over the waters. By your inspiration, the prophets spoke. You came as fire to Jesus' disciples. You guide and make holy the church you created. Our first hymn is number 128. Will you please join me in the prayer of confession? Almighty God, who sent the promised power of the Holy Spirit to fill disciples with willing faith, we confess that today we resist the force of your Spirit among us and are slow to serve you. We are reluctant to spread the good news of your love. Forgive our weakness and inflame us to be your faithful people in all we do and say. Now we continue with our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Please receive the assurance of pardon. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Please be seated. Now I would like to invite all of our young disciples to come forward to hear the children's message from our friend Tom Gillespie. Here they come.
Okay, we're on. We're ready. You guys are in luck today because it's a big, big Sunday. And I see you made your torches and the flames that you walked in with. Was that fun? Now, I guess that means you've read the story about Pentecost. And that means when the wind blew really, really hard and flames came and rested on people's shoulders and stuff. That make a lot of sense to you, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. I understand every bit of it, but I'm going to try to make it a little bit easier because we used to call this, and some people still do all the time, call it the birthday of the church. So we're going to think about different rituals we do from time to time, one of which I'm going to try to link into this birthday idea. Have you ever been to a birthday party? Has anybody ever thrown you a birthday party? What do you like the best about it? You like the cake, so they have special food. What else do you like about it? You do special activities. You have trampoline parties. Some people have bounce houses and all kinds of stuff. And you get gifts and presents. So you get special food. There's one little other element that sometimes comes up during, well, you're alive. That's a real big deal. Is there any special stuff that goes on? I mean, do people get together and maybe sing something? Is that ringing? There, they sing special songs. So that in a birthday party, sometimes they have special cake, sometimes they have ice cream, sometimes they have fire. You know, what do you do? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. They put candles on the cake and you have special fires. And then you do what with your mouth?
You blow it out.
You blow it out. Okay, so does this sound familiar now with all this wind blowing and stuff? Well, we're going to talk about that real quick. On account of Jesus was saying, is when he was talking about this, and I'm sure people asked him questions about this years later, and I'm sure at the time when he was telling them what was going to happen, they didn't make any sense to them at all, and he kept saying, this is going to happen. And one of the things he said was going to happen with the Holy Spirit is it was going to make them remember. There's another time that God said something. He said, I'm going to help you remember something. He put a big rainbow in the sky, and he said, I'm going to help you remember. And at the end of every time where we have a communion service, one of the things we always say is, in remembrance of me. So we do all of these things as a way of remembering. And what we're trying to always remember is, when God said, remember, I love you, I created you. When Jesus said, I love you, I died for you, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to send you power and special gifts. And the Holy Spirit says, remember all of these things. And so part of remembering is all three people of the Holy of the Trinity have all said the same thing from the beginning. I love you. I made you. I'm going to take care of you no matter what. It's all going to come out okay. Amen. Now, as a celebration, I've got a special cookie that some of you guys know what's called. It came all the way from Richmond, Virginia. It's called a rainbow cookie. Look at that. Now, you don't pass these down. Everybody gets one. And whenever you eat these later this morning, I want you to remember that when God was creating you, He was saying, I remember you from the day before you were created. I remembered you always. Huh? You need some more? Anybody got a little brother or sister? Okay. He said, I love you. I always will. And it's going to come out okay. Amen.
Now will you please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, help us now to listen carefully and prayerfully to your word, that we may learn how to be more faithful disciples. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our New Testament lesson for the day is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Thank you.
Our gospel lesson this Lord's Day is found in the gospel according to Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 26 through 29. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. On the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, we remember also in our church calendar the Lord's Supper, which we are due to observe today. And before we return to the theme of Pentecost, observe how the Lord's Supper proceeds from one act to another. There are four sign acts or actions present every time we serve the supper, as Matthew presents them in his gospel. He says, while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he followed a similar pattern to distribute the wine. Thus, there are four actions present in what Jesus did in the original event: the offering, the blessing, the breaking of the bread, and the giving of the bread and wine to the disciples. To me, a helpful way of remembering, experiencing, and seeing what Jesus did is to compare his actions at his first supper to our actions in serving a meal. Keep in mind, of course, as we compare this supper that we normally do to one that Jesus did, that his activities at the Lord's Supper had a deeper significance than ours usually do. The first action of Jesus was the offering or offertory. Jesus took bread, and he also took a cup, acts of preparation for the supper. Now, how do you prepare for a meal? You probably spend much more time in the kitchen just getting ready for a meal than you want to take. But as theologian James White has said, in the Lord's Supper, more happens, for it is a meal to which we all contribute. In the early church, everyone brought bread and wine, and those elements were then collected for the communion. So originally, the bread and wine came from all and signified their own offering. But haven't we lost much of that sense of participation now? Many of us just show up to take part in the supper. We don't realize the time it takes others to prepare these elements of bread and wine that are set before you today. Two of our elders gather here before the Lord's Supper every time we do it, and prepare the elements. Also, in some churches on Communion Sundays, Worshippers bring bread and juice to be given later to God's storehouse to feed the hungry here in Danville. Still, others of us, teaching and ruling elders in the church, simply serve the elements. Yet, some churches have gone much further to show how the bread and wine are part of the offering of the entire congregation. During the offertory, the ushers have been known to bring the bread and wine forward along with the money offering and place them all on the table. They set the table, so to speak. You may have other ideas to show that the elements come from the people and represent our offering just as truly as our money does. So first, the offering of bread and wine. And second is the blessing we call the prayer of great thanksgiving and the Lord's Prayer in our Presbyterian worship books. Now, in your home, you may do what Jesus did right after he prepared food and put it on the table. You have a blessing. In my own home, when I was growing up, my mother had a Moravian blessing which she grew up with and shared it with us. And it goes like this: Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Whatever your blessing, don't let this custom die in your home. It's so important for us to recognize that it is our Father God, from whom all blessings flow through his Son, Jesus Christ. At the Lord's Supper, therefore, we have the blessing, and we call it the prayer of great thanksgiving. As some in their denominations call it the prayer of consecration or the Eucharistic prayer, but they all mean the same thing. They are our way of giving thanks to God for the bread and wine, just as Jesus gave thanks at his supper. This morning, when I later pray the prayer of great thanksgiving, I hope you will follow it closely. It starts off by praising God the Father, who gave us creation, and then it moves on to God the Son, who gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And finally, it concludes by asking the Holy Spirit to come among us and our gifts as we try to keep this memorial feast of Christ our Lord. There are other elements in the prayer of great thanksgiving, but if you know something of its purpose and movement, it will mean more to you. Now we come to the third part. Jesus took bread, the offering, and blessed it, the blessing, and broke it. This section is therefore called the breaking of the bread, one of the oldest names actually for the Lord's Supper. Some Christians refer to this action as the fraction. Again, it is James White who tells us that it is necessary to break the bread before we eat, just as one has to carve the meat at dinner. Recall that in your homes by now, you will have prepared the food, put it on the table, and given thanks for it. You're ready to pass it around and share it. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but this is one part of the meal that causes me trouble. Before you pass the food around, you first need to carve it. I have never been a good carver. I can't even seem to find that right joint when I try to separate the drumstick from the thigh. And the roast that I slice, wow, it looks more mutilated than sliced. I turned that duty over to Gail years ago. But the meaning is there anyway. We share what we have with one another. There's also great significance in this action in the Lord's Supper. The breaking of the loaf into two or more pieces suggests the unity of the church in Christ. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Jesus broke bread and poured the cup. We also break bread and pour the cup in a moment of sharing. And now we come to the last act of the supper. Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples. This was the act of giving, or the communion itself. Some call it the distribution. This is the time to eat and drink. You well know how we get to this moment in our homes, but sometimes it takes forever to pass the food around and get to the point where you can finally eat. Once in a while, children or grandchildren may even sneak a bite or two before everyone has been served. You adults might do that too. You just can't wait. But please note that at the Lord's Supper, strictly speaking, we do not so much as take the bread and wine as the fact that it is given to us. Of course, Jesus did say to his disciples, take, eat, but he said this and gave it to them. So we need to emphasize that we only take and eat what is first given to us. In our church services, we pastors, in the name of the Lord Jesus, give this bread to the elders, as we will do today, and they receive it from us. In other words, all the food that we take is given. So don't miss the significance of the act of giving at communion. We are dependent on one another. We need one another. Our communion is not just with the crucified Christ who gave himself for us, it is also with one another. There you have the four actions of the Lord's Supper. As someone has said, our gifts of bread and wine, one may almost say our lives, are taken, blessed, broken, and given back to us in Christ. Christ gives himself to us through these actions so that we can give ourselves to one another. We are made one with him that we may be made one with one another and sense our oneness with all his creatures. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, I invite you to eat at this table today. Ah, but today is even more special. It is the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the day that God poured out his Holy Spirit upon the whole world. Through the Spirit, 3,000 people repented that day, put their faith in Jesus Christ, and were baptized. And then, what did they do? Just what we are doing. For Scripture says at the end of that chapter 2 in the book of Acts, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And we have devoted ourselves here to the Apostle Matthew's teaching in the fellowship of this wonderful church. And soon we will break bread and have prayer together. What a privilege it is to be here on the church's sacred birthday, 2,000 years later, breaking bread with you. Amen and amen. And now, as God's people, let us stand and say what we believe as we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And now, let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let us worship God with our morning offering. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given us so much and poured out blessing after blessing upon us. We thank you for this opportunity to return a portion of what you have given to us so that it may be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will the elders please come forward to the Lord's table? Come to this table now, all of you who have been baptized, regardless of denomination, for this is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. Coming to this table today is not a right conferred upon the worthy, but a privilege given to the undeserving who come in faith, repentance, and love. And as you come to this table to receive Christ, remember to confess your sin and brokenness. Today, even if your trust is wavering and you have doubts, come to the table to be assured of God's love and grace in Christ Jesus. Come and share the feast Christ has prepared for us. And now let us pray the great prayer of thanksgiving. Holy God, we praise you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for the life we know in Jesus Christ. Blessed is Jesus, born of Mary, your word become flesh. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim his death and resurrection. And now, pleading Christ's eternal sacrifice, we offer these gifts to you as the memorial your Son commanded us to make. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine. May the bread we break and the cup we bless be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast today, in union now with your church in heaven and on earth. We pray, O God, that you will keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal kingdom. And we all pray now the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." My friends, the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of a heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Our closing hymn is 322, Spirit of the Living God. Spirit be with all of you. Amen.